Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Disney announces new charges for deliveries at the resorts. They also announced some new details about the upcoming nighttime shows. And Virgin Trains announces that they're going to be opening stations at both Orlando International Airport and Walt Disney World. Disney Vacation Club cancels a party, which was pretty interesting. And we'll talk about reports that wait times at Walt Disney World attractions are wildly inaccurate. All that coming up next. From the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1029 for the week of April 9th, 2019. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And by DizBoards.com. Join the more than 1.5 million Disney fans who plan every aspect of their Disney vacations on our forums. You'll find advice for everything from theme parks, resorts, restaurants, Disney Vacation Club, Universal, and so much more. Head over to DizBoards.com and join in the discussion. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Teresa Eccles.
Hey.
Corey Fiasconaro.
Hey there.
Kathy Werling.
Hi, everybody.
Corey Martin.
I'm just happy to be here.
And back in the production nook on the Switch, our associate producer, Mr. Ryan O'Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Ahoy.
Well, welcome, folks. Hope your week is off to a good start. Been a little crazy for me today. But happy to be here. Not to steal somebody's tagline.
You know, it happened.
Except I mean it when I say it. You're just trying to be cool.
Yeah, I'm consistent.
Consistent. Okay, we'll go with that. John and Kevin are on vacation this week. And I want to say something about that because I don't know if it was in an email that came in or a DM on social media. Someone complained to me about John and Kevin always being away. And I want to say something to this. First of all, and I understand it because your interaction with us a lot of times is what you see here on the show and what you see in the vlogs, us in the parks, us out at, doing a dining review and stuff like that. And I understand why it might be easy on some level to assume that that's all we do. Especially where John and Kevin are concerned. And also I can say that for Teresa and I can say that for Kathy. And for Corey, this is this much of what they do. When I tell you, John has to handle the day-to-day runnings of a pretty decent-sized travel agency, and it's no small task. He doesn't get to go on the trips we take that we cover. He doesn't get to go and do all the different things that we do. No, John, a lot of times, and Kevin, are at home working. So when I say that their time off, their vacations are so incredibly richly well-deserved for people, John in particular, it's been doing it for 22 years now and does it so well. So much of what we do here would not exist or happen without him. So I just felt the need because I saw that and it really bothered me and I was very close. I try never to be nasty when I respond to people, especially on social media or an email. I try and sometimes I can't help, mm-hmm. but this was one where I really wanted to. And I'm not mentioning names or anything like that. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I just want to make the point that, keep it in perspective.
Well, in this one, I still don't think they've announced what they're doing yet. As of when this is being recorded, but they are working, and that's the reason why they're gone. So they're doing something very special this week that Kevin is thrilled about.
Well, whatever the case is, I will vociferously defend my business partner and my friends from that sort of stuff because it just isn't cool. Whatever time John needs to take off, he has more, believe me, for the years that that man never took a single vacation. Mm-hmm. He has more than earned. He's more than earned his stripes. So
there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. We are not only a YouTube channel. There are a lot of other channels. That's all they do.
Right. And most of them, that's all they do.
But we do. We have a lot more going on.
There are so many moving pieces to this operation that it would blow your mind. It would blow your mind. But just wanted to get that out there. Also want to let everybody know that we are still doing that promotion. We're running that promotion all month for the free 3-month subscription to the Magic Candle Company subscription box. You'll get for the winner that we choose at random, you will get a subscription box every month that includes
it's an 8-ounce candle, a room spray, a car freshener, and a pack of wax melts.
And they're all, that's all one fragrance.
Yep.
So you get a different one each month. All you have to do is sign up for the Diz mailing list. And you're able to do that. We'll have it in the show notes page, but where's the best place for them to sign up, Corey?
Top navigation on the Diz, WWinfo.com, DisneyInfo.com. Just top navigation. You'll see subscribe. It's right there.
And we switched up our mailer starting yesterday. So
yes. It's been fun.
A lot of cool new stuff. A lot of cool new stuff going in the mailer. And I can tell you right now, over the next few months, it's going to be a lot more giveaways. I'm planning some fun stuff.
Ooh. Oh, wait. I don't get it.
Stuff that Teresa has to take care of.
Oh, exciting.
So it's stuff that I get to add more things to Teresa's plate.
Yay. Always fun.
Kitty litter.
Really, kitty litter, yeah. Really makes me excited. Also want to just also say that the timeshare store, dvcstore.com, they are giving out a $50 Disney gift card to people at random to someone who signs up for their mailing list. Their mailing list goes out 3 times a week, and all the latest updates on what DVC resale contracts are for sale, what points are available for rent or transfer, all that good stuff. So head over to dvcstore.com and you can sign up for that and have a chance to win a $50 Disney gift card. I think they're going to be doing that every month. So even if you don't win this month, if you're on the list.
Nice.
So there you go. I also mentioned this on the Disneyland show that I did an hour ago that's going out tomorrow. Some people are confused regarding the 20 years of Dreams party that we're doing from August 6th through the 11th this year. Party the night of the 10th at Animal Kingdom at Pandora World of Avatar is sold out, but the week-long event is not. We have over 1,000 people showing up.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it's big.
I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah, over 1,000 people currently registered. It's a $35 registration fee to join us for the week. We're going to be doing a lot of meetups in the parks. We're going to be doing a lot of special events. If you are a Patreon subscriber, I've got some cool stuff being planned that I'm going to be announcing in the coming weeks for our Patreon subscribers. We are going to be doing a live show. That's Sunday the 11th. So there's lots of stuff going on. We're going to have the silent auction over at the Contemporary. Our base of operations this year is going to be at the Contemporary. That's where registration is going to be. A lot of the team will hang out there. So you get to meet a lot of us, hang out with some of us in the park. There's always lots of events going on. I know a bunch of people are, those are DVC members because they're doing a DVC after hours party at Animal Kingdom on the 8th of August. Mm. So a bunch of our, DVC people are going to be hanging out doing that.
We'll be at Fort Wilderness. That's where we're going to stay.
Are you going to stay at Fort Wilderness?
Yeah, I love the cabins.
I got a cabin at Copper Creek.
I can cut across the lake and just meet y'all there.
I'm not using points because no human being has enough points to do a cabin for a week. But
No. Like Fort Wilderness.
No, I know you're doing a cabin at Fort Wilderness. Yeah. I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. Typical. I care about
only you. I stayed at the Contemporary for the very first time that week, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought about doing that. Previously we've always done it over at the Boardwalk, and I'd get a couple of rooms in Concierge because mom is always with us. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We have a video coming up. It's a few weeks away before I release it, of my stay at Boulder Ridge, my first day as a DVC member. And mom did the review with me. Mom was there for the whole thing. She was unbelievable. Oh, my God. It was so good.
Aww.
I just saw the final draft of it. that Corey did and Fiasco.
Thank you.
Other Corey.
Little Corey.
And it's like, I'm so excited to release this, but we're waiting. There's another announcement I have to make. I'll probably make it next week about something new that's coming. It's going to tie into that. And because I'm like all into being a DVC member right now.
Yeah.
All into being, all my resale contracts cleared. All of them cleared.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And I was surprised because I really thought they were going to get taken. But anyway, I got way off on a tangent there. Please join us for the 20th anniversary of Dreams. Signups will be in the show notes page, disunplugged.com. And yeah, come join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. All right. And that's everything I have. Like 20-minute housekeeping. Anybody else?
Yeah, to tie into that, if you have any auction items that you need to that you would like to send in for our auction, there is I don't know the link. Can I say the link will be there to sign
in
up
in the show notes.
In the show
as
notes,
as long as you make sure Craig gets it.
Craig, make a note
of what?
Are you just like listening to something else?
I'm listening to make sure everything sounds good. Thank you.
In the show notes, wherever that is, okay. Wherever that may be,
disunplugged.com.
Disunplugged.com. Put in there the link where they can put in their auction item and that they're going to send it to me or bring it to me. And I really, if I have a preference, send it to me ahead of time because that way we get pictures of it and it's in the system and in hand bid before the auction starts.
Yeah, we're going to have a cutoff date. What cutoff date are we setting for auction items?
Have we set it yet? I'm not sure.
I don't think we've set it yet, but I'm going to set it a little bit wider than we did last time because...
So 48 hours before it starts? Is that good?
No. We're going to need... I think we're going to say that we need stuff by July 1st.
That's good. Also,
cutoff is good. Anything that comes in after July 1st, we're not going to be able to accept.
And also, I just want to say, and I'm looking right at the camera for this one, if you're at the auction, you're there with us that week, please stop by and pick up your item that you win. It'll save... You'll get it then. It's instant gratification. You don't have to wait the weeks and months and years for me to send it to you.
If somebody is missing anything from our last auction, can they still contact you about that?
Yes, I do have some small handful of items where people haven't contacted me. I don't have their address.
Yeah.
I do have a few that are picking up their items at this auction from the last auction, which is fine. I will hold your item as long as you want me to at the Welcome Center if you want to come pick it up and not pay shipping, because shipping is on you. It's not on us. So, you know, I'll hold it for you until you come back.
All right.
Then you got to come see me.
Okay. Anything else for housekeeping? No, really?
Little Corey, nothing? Big Corey, nothing? I'm sorry. Mature Corey? Nothing.
Big Daddy. He likes Big Daddy.
I kind of like my gray hair. I dig it.
You want some of mine?
If you're a Patreon supporter in the $10 and up tier, Pete's new episode of his solo show will be going up this Friday, the 12th. I thought I'd give it... I realize that a lot of people watch this live, but then you're not really listening to it probably till tomorrow. So I was trying to give it a little more space so people knew what it was. You can check that out at patreon.com/disunplugged, and you'll find that over there.
And I was so worried in doing the solo shows that I wasn't going to be able to be consistent with it. Now, this is the sixth one I've done since February, I think. Right? February?
Yeah, it might actually even be March.
No.
I think it was the end of February. I think it was the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know it was definitely February. I don't know. But and literally like an hour after I finished the last entry on episode 6, I started episode 7. And then this morning I finished the 7th one. So I actually have the next one ready to go up. So
wow.
I'm having a fun time doing it.
So are you just like, good. Is it random off the top of the head?
It's kind of being done. Stop speaking and I'll answer your question. Love the hair. Honest to God. Yeah. It looks so good.
I'm bringing back the 80s.
Squirrel.
But I'm doing a diary format. I'm just like...
Oh, when like some, a log?
Yeah. It's when something's going on. And I'm doing it on the phone so I can do it wherever I am. Because that was like my big concern was that when I had been doing them prior to this, I would like come in here. It would be late at night. I'd have a script put together. And it was a thing. And I needed it to... that was not sustainable for me. Unless I knew the guys were going to be here and we were going to record it that way. it just was not sustainable for me to do. So just recording it like this, wherever I am, and this just happened or that just happened. And
I listen to a few podcasts that have that format, and I love it.
It's very personable. I think so far the feedback's been really good. So
there was some comments saying, don't change it from solo show. They're like, it sounds, you should change it to doing it by myself show. Do you think that'd be better?
Oh, my.
I mean, like, seriously.
What is wrong with you?
No, I'm telling you. Like when you first started, like, oh, don't change the name from
wasn't
solo show.
Wasn't you saying it was someone else?
It was me. It's like I have,
oh, that
a,
was you?
I have an alter. Never mind.
Yeah. No,
you're not from as sure as I thought you were.
I just want people to know that it's not like
I'm alone.
You know,
there's a good
it's
title.
Just me. It's not.
Yeah, doing it by yourself.
So we'll call it Just Pete.
I like that.
So, all right. Enough. Patreon.com/DizUnplugged if you want to check that out. I guess Jackie Gailey's watching, and she's like, oh, all of your right of first refusals went through. Yay. Yes, Jackie, I got them all. All right. So let's actually are you doing this in the order I listed them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Disney has revealed a little bit more information about the upcoming nighttime shows, in particular the one at Epcot. And Craig, tell me I read it wrong.
Are you setting me up there?
I am setting you up.
Okay.
If a guy, you know, I know
jet skis.
What is going on? What is this just for the temporary show, or is this for the permanent new show?
Good thing we're not live.
The temporary show with kites.
No.
Yes.
No.
Aren't you excited to see kites?
No.
Yes. They're going to be flying around their kites with the jet ski.
Hurricane.
Who are?
Should be awesome.
Okay.
The performers.
Just so that we can, I was really hoping Craig would go into a little bit more detail.
I'm trying to pull it up right now.
They're going to be doing a new nighttime show at Epcot. Until the new permanent one is ready, they're replacing Illuminations with some temporary show that is apparently going to involve jet skis.
That's just one part of it. So we talked about Epcot forever before when it was announced. It's going to be the limited. I don't like saying temporary show. That feels very negative.
How about limited time magic?
That's what it is. It's a limited show that's just going to be there and probably will never see it again after it's gone. But
live on in our memory.
Yeah, but it's going to be all about Epcot, which I love as an Epcot fan. As you've said in the past, Pete, you think that's a terrible move to make because the average Disney fan doesn't give any time and effort into the history of Epcot, but as a diehard Epcot fan, getting to hear the classic Epcot music in there is
the Epcot fans. I love Epcot. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Illuminations is arguably the most popular nighttime show they've ever done, mm-hmm. at least on this coast. And it's been there now for 19 years, and I understand, or 20 years, really. It's time to move on. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm sad to see it go. But, and again, I'm going to reserve full judgment until I actually see what they put there. Many, many times I've heard, you know, stories and rumors and things, and it sounds like it's going to be a disaster, and then you go see it, and it's actually quite good. So, but jet skis?
Well, that's just part of it. So that's going to be part of the special effects enabled kites that they have that will be doing airborne choreography.
Special effects enabled kites.
Yeah. The kites will be controlled by 8 two-person teams of performers aboard the jet ski like personal watercrafts who will not only fly the kites but also create enough wind to keep them in the sky. But that is one's part. They want to make sure that they say that Pyro is actually the star in this show. So, which makes sense to me.
So, what are they going to fire them at the people on the jet skis and the kites?
I think a lot of the show does have to be Pyro heavy because we know that there's going to be.
Well, if you're
going to
break out the jet skis, you're going to have to do something to distract me from the fact that I was just looking at jet skis.
The next show is going to be very heavy on fountains. Based on what they've already shown us already.
If they jump through fountains, that's
Jesus
pretty impressive.
Christ. They just can't let me finish my sentence on it. They just can't put in a fountain and get it working all like overnight. We've already seen the disaster what happened with World of Color in terms of doing that. These things that are so high tech take time. And so the fact that they're saying, yeah, we're doing stuff like making Pyro the actual star, which is something that everyone hated about Illuminations, that you go to watch the fireworks show at night, and for 5 minutes of it, you're watching a spinning ball just move around in a circle.
Yeah.
So they're going to make that the star of this temporary show, which I think is definitely a good thing with that. But then they said, like, One Little Spark's going to be in there, and Magic Journeys is going to be playing during it. It just sounds...
Kathy's going to hate this.
You know what I want?
Well, hold on a second. You know, let's talk to, you know, an Illuminations fan. I remember when she first saw World of Color, I had told her ahead of time it was even better than Illuminations, and she was, like, not having it. She was like, no. But she was crying at the end of World of Color, and she goes, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
But so, diehard Illuminations fan, what's your feeling on this?
I'm sort of like you. I'm going to have to give it time. I like the part that they're going to have the music from Figment.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get, you know, the warm fuzzies from jet skis and kites.
No.
Take away the just a minute. I'm older than you.
Ooh.
Take away the kites and the jet skis. Put a line of women in pretty outfits with big headdresses being pulled behind a boat. You know, like old-timey 50s Florida.
You do realize it's nighttime, and then we're getting into
giant spotlights. Well, put lights on them. Put lights on them.
This one wants an Esther Williams show.
Right. Have them jump over the fountains. And
I think they're taking some – go ahead, Corey.
Let us ride the jet skis and have the first interactive experience nighttime show.
Yeah.
As we all go away and fire.
And the lawyers will be lined up outside the turnstiles. Some little
snippets from, like, the floats they do, like, during Rivers of Light, maybe, like, to be more interactive with the water. I don't know. Be one with the water. But
Did anybody ever see the show? Because they were saying that they had jet skis before Illuminations, or there was a jet ski show at Disney World.
Not that I ever saw.
The jet ski is like the little motorcycle on water, right?
Yeah.
Like you're, okay.
Yeah.
What's the thing where it's like it looks like a one person thing, and you control it with your hands, and you come up, and it's just like a little tube, and you come up out of the water. What is that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you mean like the jetpacks?
Yeah. You're talking about those stupid hover things,
like the Iron Man thing.
Those are cool.
There was more than just the Epcot Forever on that, though. They also brought up the Lion King Tree of Life Awakening show, which is one of my favorite things at Animal Kingdom at night. Yeah, I already love all the shows they do. My favorite one is the Disney one that's just very subtle on how it's weaved throughout. But the story for the Lion King one, according to Shaw Slater, the guy from Disney who was talking about it, said you'll see visual highlights of Simba's journey, all of those moments from being born and presented to going off to live with Timon and Pumbaa to finding Nala. I'm pretty sure he just didn't do that happily, but anyways, and then eventually taking his rightful place at King. Those will all play out visually on the 4-minute show that will run several times throughout each night through the end of September. And then the last part of the announcements was with The Wonderful World of Animation, the new show that will be debuting on Hollywood Studios' 30th anniversary celebration on May 1st. And, you know, it's going to be a 12-minute show that, according to Disney, tugs at the heartstrings from romance to adventure. That got me right there. Films featured in the show include Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Sleeping Beauty, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Hercules, Emperor's New Groove, Lilo and Stitch, Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Cars, Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, Big Hero 6, Zootopia, Moana, Coco. They've got a lot to put in 12 minutes right there, but that's why they say it is a feat, and it does sound like one, but I'm pumped for it. I'm one of the people who actually appreciates what Hollywood Studios does at nighttime, minus their garbage Fantasmic. That's still garbage, but everything else, I'm cool.
There are better places to watch movies than the ones projected on the front of the theater. I'm open to it. I know you love it. I was not.
No, anything new for Hollywood Studios? We were there this past weekend, but I'm open for anything new there.
Yeah.
Anything new.
So, all right, let's move on to the next story and talk about this. This got a lot of attention. Disney has decided they're going to begin charging a $6 Bell Services delivery fee for any package delivered to the resorts, the front desk or Bell Services, that is delivered by Bell Services. So a lot of people like to order, like Amazon Prime, for example. They'll order water and snacks and non-perishables that they will then have shipped to the resorts, and then they have it when they check in. That's still fine, but if Bell Services delivers that to your room, $6 fee. Anything other than your luggage delivered through Magical Express, I believe is what they're saying, is going to incur this fee. Now, I don't know if that includes, though, it doesn't say specifically, if that's going to include, you know, I'm at the parks and I buy stuff and I want to ship back to the room, back to the hotel.
I don't think they would do it for that.
No.
What about the items I deliver from the Welcome Center to the clients?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If
yeah, yes. I think so. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to avoid.
Well, what's happening is they are, and look, I'm going to be honest. I'm on board with this.
I'm with you.
I am.
I'm on board with this.
It's a business decision. Yep.
And it's not ridiculous because the number of people, especially with the advent of Amazon Prime and services like that, the number of people shipping things to their resorts. And, you know, these bellmen, they work their tails off. And this is not a tip for them, by the way. This is $6. Right. None of that goes to them. So that's the other thing I'm afraid of is that, you know, people that would normally tip Bell Services, if they get and billed $6, they'd be like, okay, well, that's your tip. Sorry.
I know a bellman that works at Portland Riverside. There are no elevators there. So everything requires him to walk up those stairs and walk down those. And he said, sometimes I never get a tip. But we know how big that property is. I know they have carts and whatever, but he can't just take an elevator up. He's walking these bags up.
And especially if it's packed like I do.
Yeah.
Can you designate it and say they'll pick it up?
Yes. If you pick it up at Bell Services, you're not charged the fee. This is only when they deliver it to your room.
Okay.
So I am 100% on board with this. I don't think Disney's trying to discourage it. I think they're just trying to say, hey, listen.
Come pick your own stuff up.
A lot of work, yeah. You know. Is time. Going into this. Our resorts are busy, and so at this point we gotta, you know, there are upcharges that they do that I think are ridiculous, but this does not constitute that for me. Anybody disagree? Anybody think this is a bad idea?
No, I think that's the least. I mean, I'm surprised it's only $6.
Well, if it's not gonna, we both know that's not going to stay that way.
Right. But I think, you know, I can remember going to Disney before everybody started shipping things in. And I'm sure that's what most people think of. And now I'm sure probably, at least 50% of people ship stuff ahead of time. That's a lot of extra work for no money. And if you don't tip, shame on you. Because it's really, it's $6, you know, round it up to 10.
I'm one of those, but then again, I'm a notorious over-tipper. Every time I look at a bellman.
Right.
Or a valet or anything like that. Tip.
You know, I always think of it as I'm in a magical place. I came to Walt Disney World. If I can make their day a little bit better, that's the least I can do.
Absolutely.
And if $6 is going to make it or break it for you, then maybe Walt Disney World isn't the place for you to go.
Here you go, Kathy.
Whoa.
Kathy throwing down.
Dang, that was harsh.
No, there's some places that even like tipping housekeepers and stuff. I've always done that.
Oh, she does. I when I've stayed with her in hotels, she tips nightly, not at the end. I know.
Because the next person that comes in might not be the one the night before.
Yeah.
I just look at it as being nice. It's your chance to give.
See, I tip. I usually do it at the end. But now that you mention that, because my mother drilled that in. My mother was a housekeeper. So drilled that in my head.
Yeah. So the last person on your 7-night stay is getting money.
Is getting it all. Well, unless she shares.
I mean, or your one-night stay. I have no idea. I know. You stay long.
I think it would be nice if they included part of that $6 in for the Bell Service people, because it for most people, I don't think $6 is going to be the make it or break it. But for some people, they get that $6, and they might be inclined to not tip when they might have tipped if they weren't being charged.
Well, I think there's already a lot of people that don't tip anyway. Yeah. So
we could do a whole show on tipping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should do a whole show. But so – all right, so we're all on board. We all think that's a good idea. So it's a good idea. It's been decided. All right, another story. And I know we must have reported on this, and I just either didn't pay attention to it or just don't remember it. This high-speed rail station that has been, because I've been hearing high-speed rail in Orlando for years, and nothing ever seems to happen. But apparently, Virgin, as in Virgin Atlantic and Virgin Galactic and Virgin Cruises and Virgin everything else, bought a company called Brightline that was building a high-speed rail from Orlando to Miami. And now they're saying that they're going to be opening up a station within the next, they're saying it's about 30 to 36 months this is going to take. They'll be opening up a station at Orlando International and Walt Disney World concurrently. That both these stations will open at the same time. And this will be a line that goes to Miami. And it makes sense to me that Virgin is doing this because Virgin is about to launch their own cruise line. And I don't know what the timing on that is. I know it's in the next – I know they've started taking reservations.
Yeah.
They're going to be sailing out of Miami. And I know that this would be a market they absolutely want to tap into. That's always been a concern for cruise lines going out of the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area is that, you know, Orlando – or you know, once Disney came to Orlando, it became this giant wall – for tourists in the middle of Central Florida, and that's where everything stops. So being able to draw those tourists, maybe you spend a couple days in Disney and then you get on the train and you go down, do your cruise out of Miami, because it's about a 4-hour drive from here to get down to Miami.
It's plus not, tolls.
Plus tolls. Yeah. And it's not exactly convenient. It's not terrible, but it's a pain. They got to park in Miami and all that stuff. So, according to their spokesman, Virgin spokesman, Disney's on board with this. Disney's excited about this, which kind of struck me as odd. But maybe because Disney wants people to be able to get down to Miami because
for their cruises.
Their Disney sails out of Miami, too. Yeah. And believe me when I tell you, those cruises struggle.
It stops people. It stops clients sometimes. Oh, I don't want to come out of Miami.
It's too expensive. It's too expensive. Anything that does not come out of Port Canaveral, it seems, has a premium put on it. And, you know, Port Canaveral prices aren't exactly cheap.
And also, if you want to stay at Miami the night before, Craig and I did that for the two dudes. Like one night at a hotel, just the night before, it's pretty expensive in Miami. Like if you want to stay near the port.
Yeah. No, it is. It is expensive. So, their spokesman said, quote, Virgin has an excellent relationship with Walt Disney World and that they are, quote, big supporters, end quote, of the project. And that the Walt Disney World station would integrate with their transportation systems, hotels, and theme parks. So I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious. No one has been able to get a high-speed rail system built here. They have been trying. I mean, we've been talking about high-speed rail for God knows how many years.
Gondola to rail to...
you know, we need it. We absolutely need
I-4
it.
I-4 is a pain and...
don't even get me started on I-4. I just... It's absurd. It gets worse. As time goes on, it doesn't get better. It just gets worse. And the construction, it's like more and more construction. I-4 is terrible. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know when it ever ends. I don't think it does. I think it's been going on since I moved here 20 years ago.
I can't tell last time I've been on a train, like a high speed. Like I've been on the one in Magic Kingdom, but
a train to go somewhere.
Yeah, go somewhere. I don't think I've.
I was on was the one going from St. Pancras Station in London to Disneyland Paris.
Was the big thing when I moved here. I missed the most about living where I did in Massachusetts because somebody lives in the city, I'll just get on the T or whatever and go down or on the MBT. I remember just taking it for granted because I moved down here and somebody's like, oh, I live like an hour away. I'm like, is there a train I can take? And they're like, what are you talking about? And they built that train system that I know it goes into like Winter Park, but it was like it built it It goes nowhere near where anybody needs to go to work. Yeah, because, you know, Walt Disney World employs 65,000 people in Central Florida, so you'd think that there would be some sort of public transportation that can take people in that direction more directly. But the bus system doesn't even work like that either. So
that train flies through Winter Park, too. Boy, don't get near the tracks when it's coming through.
That train is a joke, too. It is literally like two cars, and I laugh at it when it
goes by.
Going
each way, though.
Yeah.
All right, so next and final story I want to talk about, little Disney Vacation Club story, because I think this is telling, and it kind of ties into a story we will talk about on tomorrow's Disneyland show with one of their after-hours parties. A few weeks ago, Disney Vacation Club announced they were doing Star Wars Galactic Gathering inexplicably at Epcot, and that it was going to be April 10th, which is tomorrow, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. There were going to be Star Wars-themed food and beverages. Star Wars characters were going to be there. They were going to be able to pose for photos with Star Wars set pieces and props. This was going to happen in the most magical place imaginable, World Showplace, which, if you're not familiar with what that is the big tent that exists between Canada and the United Kingdom pavilions. It's kind of set in the back. That was put up for the Millennium Celebration. It was Millennium Village back in 2000. And I don't think it was supposed to be a permanent structure, but they kept it as one. And now they do special events in there.
It's also where, like, Party for the Senses happens.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So they were doing this Star Wars party in Epcot. Big disconnect there. They're doing it in World Showplace. Big disconnect there. And they were charging $225 a person for this. Well, if you read the DVC forums on disboards.com, this was met with a thud, to say the least. I wanted to see what it was going to be. I thought this would make great content, even if it sucked. If it sucks, it's even better. Because that makes even better content. If you don't believe me, just listen to tomorrow's Disneyland show and their review of the Anaheim Hotel. You don't want to miss that review. But, excuse me. So I bought four tickets for this.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Wow.
I bought four tickets.
Only
Well, I was going to take, you know, Misery Loves Company. I was going to take people with me. And wanted to see what it was like. But lo and behold, Saturday, I get a robocall from DVC saying, "We're sorry, this event has been canceled."
You were the only one who bought tickets.
Right?
I think I was the only one who bought tickets.
We sold four tickets.
To this event. Because wildly overpriced at Star Wars at Epcot. Now, if they were opening the new space theme restaurant, they were going to make that tie in with that or something along those lines. Maybe that, but DVC members really said, "We've had enough now. You know, we pay enough to join, we pay enough in maintenance fees and all this other stuff. We really appreciate the after hours party that DVC throws that are free." Then you turn around and you throw this, and I'm loving the DVC community because they were like, "Oh hell no!"
There was no discount involved. It was just more exclusivity.
You have to be a DVC member. You could bring guests, but you had to be a DVC member, and it was still $225.
Right. There was no discount.
No.
Yeah, it's not like you're giving me something special.
I don't think even as the general public, they would have paid $225 for what you actually were getting.
No, I think I really was the only one. The only reason I did, I looked at that price. I'm like, But I'm like, you know, again, I'm always looking for content for the site, and especially with DVC right now, we're trying to do more with our content around Disney Vacation Club. So I was like, all right, say a couple of the guys, especially when you got, you know, the Star Wars fans. Not that I'm not, but not like them.
That space, though, you were talking about, it is a great space. When they decorate it, because we've been to a couple media events. Yeah. I've never been to Party for the Senses, but the way they decorate that,
it could look
incredible.
You know, after-hours parties usually mean you have the park to yourself, there are rides open, and things like, well, you're not doing anything.
And their bathrooms are clean, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very clean.
They are.
Wow. What were you paying for? Just like photo ops?
And food. There was going to be food. Buffet. There was going to be the menu for the event. It's not even a dinner, okay? Hors d'oeuvres, specialty beverages. Oh, there was going to be a buffet featuring a salad cone station, small bite station, a bowl action station.
No Jack Daniels station? forget that.
So there, you know, there was going to be food, but at $225, because I know what these cost. I know when you're doing F&B special events, we do them all the time. I know what these cost. For $225, it should have been a seated, plated meal.
Yeah, because you could do the dessert party. I got invited by Disney to do that. The Star Wars I don't know what the official name of it's called, but the dessert party that's at Hollywood Studios.
It was a day event you did.
Yeah. Well, it was two different things that they had done in the same day because it was like the separate invitation was – I guess they were like, we want you to know you don't add this on. This is a separate thing people book. But it was a dessert party, and it was like – I want to say it was 6:45, and then you got there and the fireworks – they didn't move you out of the building for like 2 hours, and it was I don't remember the pricing, but I want to say it was like somewhere around $80. And I thought, well, that's a lot for a dessert party, but it was there was like four or five different specialty cocktails. You could just order a regular cocktail if you wanted it. So it was all you could drink, and then it was the all you could eat desserts, and then they had the special characters because you're in the launch bay for that part of it, so you already have the special backdrop and the surprise thing for me that I did not expect, because I wouldn't have eaten before I went, was there was a savory section. So there was like all this stuff that you could have made a whole meal out of it. And so that sounds like it's the same thing almost, but for $125 more.
And for DVC members too. So you'd think that they would get a little bit something more special.
Well, they're not going to be doing this again. I mean, because that's pretty extraordinary when Disney announces a party and then has to cancel it.
Yeah.
Now, Disney didn't say for lack of interest. Of course, they're not going to. But why else would you cancel an event a week before, not even a week before, it's supposed to happen? And so, yeah, sure enough, the money went back on my card.
They made a mistake recently with another event, too, I think. And it might have also been a DVC event. It was they advertised the wrong day. They said it was like on this it's in May. Somebody sent me a message about it on, I don't know, email.
Well,
Twitter,
I know there's an after hours event coming up in May, so it might have been that.
Well, this is how they learned. They were saying like, oh, we made a mistake. We said it was like Tuesday and it was supposed to be Monday the 6th. And so they literally went through these people's plans and they're like, oh, we see you have this dining reservation, all this stuff. They rearranged everything. They got them fast passes and they were like, oh, you don't have fast passes to this. They gave them fast passes to this. And I want to say that was for the DVC party was a free event that they went out of their way to correct for them. So this is like left field stuff.
So I'm kind of surprised by it, but I think you'll hear if you listen to the Disneyland show tomorrow, we're going to talk about one of their after hours events that seems to be struggling to sell tickets. I think to some degree where these parties are concerned, people are starting to say enough is enough. I think maybe Disney has hit the wall with what they're able to get away with, because as these parties become more popular, you know, you see the price go up and then you start seeing stuff like this. And now, you know, the market's going to decide what the cap is. And DVC now knows you cannot get away with charging $225 for one of these events. And if you do, you better do a lot more than a hors d'oeuvre buffet and some Star Wars characters. Yeah. So, all right, that's going to do it for the news. We're going to move on to rapid fire, and I will start with you, the lovely Ms. Eccles.
Hey.
And I do love the hair.
Thank you. I'm still getting
it. She doesn't believe me. She likes thinks I'm lying.
You're saying
to
it
her.
Too much.
I'm not being sarcastic. Like, I absolutely love it.
Just trying to be nice. I got my old woman hair going. All right. Beginning April.
Blow her up on social, folks. Blow her up on social. Follow her on social and tell her how great she
looks.
Tell
me the truth.
I think
tell
she
me
looks
the
fantastic.
Truth. No, I'm not. Beginning April 19th, guests will be able to see a special preview of select scenes from Aladdin and sneak peeks coming to Disney theme parks and Disney Cruise Line. The preview will be presented at the Main Street Opera House in Town Square in Disneyland and the Walt Disney Presents attractions at Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. Well, that's it.
Thank you.
It's a picture.
Thank you, Teresa.
Short.
Fiasco?
All right. So Epcot's International Food and Wine Festival dates have been announced, and this Food and Wine Festival is actually going to be the longest in Epcot's
history.
Every
year. Every year. This is the longest. This is the every single year.
And it's
They're going to end up starting these festivals in April. As soon as Flower and Wine ends, they're going to start Food and Wine.
Well, I mean, right now we have most a couple weeks in between each festival starting and stopping. But, yeah. This is going to be 87 days long. It's going to start from August 29th to November 23rd. And then the Eat to the Beat concert series will run from August 29th to November 19th. With that, we also have Epcot International Festival of the Holidays dates announced too. That's going to return on November 29th and run till December 30th. So that one's still pretty short.
Is it the last – wait, so when does Food and Wine go until?
Until the end – like right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like within less than a week of each other, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. In 1 week – Food and Wine ends, and Festival of the Holidays begins. 1 week.
You know,
I was looking through some old photos, and I ran across. You remember the character caravan, like the double decker bus that used to go through? Can you imagine them doing that right now with like all these festivals? I couldn't even imagine, like even like the what was the parade called? I've been brain fart.
Tapestry of Nations.
Yes. I can't even imagine anything like that happening through the World Showcase anymore with all these festivals. I mean, because it's. Everything bottlenecks.
Don't depress me. I miss that so much. I miss
what tapestry or the character caravan.
Tapestry of Nations.
I'm gonna throw this back on Thursday because it's a cool photo. I'm like, oh, I kind of miss that. But anyway, short story long.
I'll do way back Wednesday, not throwback Thursday.
Way back Wednesday.
I don't want to wait. All right,
I'm sorry. In there, like forget me Friday and sad Saturday and.
All right. Hijacking rapid fire. Thank you, Corey. Kathy.
Okay. If you were sitting on the edge of your seats, they've now announced the dates for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Yay.
It's not even Easter, but we have Christmas Party.
Well, but this is normal. They normally release it roughly around this time of year.
And at least it wasn't in January, like when they announced the Halloween party tickets. But the party will take place from 7 p.m. to midnight, and there's a bunch of dates in November and December, which we have up on our website. Ticket prices are $99 to $139 plus tax per adult, and it depends on the more popular days. It's going to cost you more, and you can purchase them through your My Disney Experience app.
That's pricey.
Yeah, but it's fun.
You know, I haven't taken all my Christmas decorations down yet, so I feel pretty good.
There's still a couple.
I saw that tree over there.
If you like, right behind your head, Pete, I think is the right behind your back. There's one that says like Noel
jingle
or something. Yeah, jingle all the way, right behind you.
Yeah,
I saw it yesterday.
I have.
We missed some.
I have a Tangled theme Christmas tree at home, but still up. I don't think we're even going to take it down. No shame.
All right.
Nope.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
All right, forgotten where we left off.
We left off at Rapid Fire. All right, so a new Disney Ticket Center is opening at Town Center at Disney Springs. A brand new location near Guest Relations Welcome Center will offer guest assistance with most of their ticketing needs. The Ticket Center can assist guests with purchasing and or upgrading theme park tickets, annual passes, special event tickets, and more. Kind of sounds like Guest Relations. The cast members will also be able to help with dining reservations in addition to providing general Walt Disney World Resort planning information.
Where is this at now?
This is in Town Center, right between Zara and Blaze Fast Fired Pizza.
Oh.
It's where like the... Isn't that where Guest Relations is now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
They have the building there
now. Yeah, there's a building.
But they definitely need more Guest Relations.
It's chaotic in there.
Yeah, it gets really backed up. I don't usually go to Guest Relations too much. I try to do everything I can do on the computer. But when I was trying to get my Tables in Wonderland pass, we were backed up for about 2.5 hours.
Wow. It's crazy because I went there to get my annual pass renewed, and you just sit on the couch, just wait for your name to be called. It's cozy, but it takes a while. So,
all right.
Anyway, there you go.
Thank you, Corey. Rhino.
Mine is about some new merchandise that is coming to Disney parks. This Wishables line that I don't know if it's just Jackie that's predicting this will be huge, but they're pretty cute.
No, she predicts it's going to be magical.
Yeah. Well, they're
sorry, launching, Jackie.
Launching April 10th at Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney World. They are, so they're called Wishables. They're small plush toys that are inspired by iconic Disney characters, films, attractions, and snacks as well.
Oh, my God.
This first line is going to include Mickey and Minnie Mouse and friends, along with, there's a photo on the site with of characters from the Finding Nemo submarine voyage. So you've got like Darla, Bruce, the submarine itself. It looks like that's probably Marlin and Dory. And then each Wednesday, a new set will be launched, with the first set coming this week to select theme park merchandise locations, including World of Disney at Downtown Disney and Disneyland, and Disney Springs at Walt Disney World. There's a whole line of these Pirates ones, too, that are cute, because it's like Jack with the redhead, the skeleton, the dog with the keys, and the a bird.
I'll tell you what, like parrot. Finley and Ferris, they would love these. Are these like the new Vinylmations, though?
This is cute.
Well, I think these are cuter than the Vinylmations.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get in with like series one.
These are Christmas gifts for my daughter-in-law.
I think they're cute. If there was a mint julep one, I'd definitely be on it. But it's part of it's an event. So the events will be taking place on April 10th at both U.S. Disneyland and Disney World at World of Disney from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then at Walt Disney World, it'll be 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Once Upon a Toy in Disney Springs.
Tomorrow?
On the 10th, yeah. So my guess is these are going to be very limited if they're making a new series every week. So
sounds like Vinylmations. Yeah.
So well, no, you'll be tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
right. Sorry, kids. I'll buy them on eBay.
All right, thank you.
Are you going right now?
Maybe, actually. Now I'm thinking about it, but...
Let's talk.
Thank you, Rhino. Craig?
Okay, so on Saturday, April 13th, so if you're listening to this on Monday, it already happened. Sorry. But if you're still listening to this right now, coming up on April 13th, there is going to be special photo ops, experiences, and snacks for kind of Haunted Mansion. And so... it's all around Liberty Square to be particular, but like there'll be a photo pass photographer stationed near the exit of Haunted Mansion that will have a Tomb Suite tomb prop available for guests during daylight hours, as well as an animated magic shot at that point. I'm guessing the one with the hitchhiking ghosts that you can see on the thumbnail for this video.
There's one where they put the face, though, inside of
it. Yeah, well, and then there's another one, too, where there's, like, the Hatbox Ghost magic shot. It'll show the Hatbox Ghost, and your face will be inside on it as well, too. So
inside his box.
Yeah, inside the box. That's where it'll go. Inside and then the after sun goes down, apparently there will be even more spooktacular photos available.
We need Walter to say that.
Oh, I was thinking that.
and those would include stuff like outside of Memento Mori, they'll have the caretaker lanterns prop available. And I think they're going to do one of the light magic shops as well. And yeah, they're going to have a Brookie available. And Cadaver Dance are going to actually be playing at night after the sun goes down. So that's you've never been to a Halloween party, but you're going to be
in
here
World?
For that time. Yeah, we always have the Cadaver Dance. They walk around Frontierland singing, though. They don't do the Rivers of America like Disneyland. But it's a fun time. I mean, I love the Cadaver Dance. So to get to see them without the craziness of a party, because usually we're so busy at the parties, I don't get to stop and actually enjoy them. So I know I'll be there.
Why is this happening on Saturday the 13th and not like a Friday the 13th?
Oh,
Rhonda, don't question Disney.
Oh, okay. You'd have to wait. Because it's supposed to be the 13th. Special photo thing for photo pass.
They're reaching. Good answer.
Yeah. Good job, Kath.
Wow.
Good job. All right. Thank you.
It's a one day only thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She'd do it every day.
I think she should use her imagination for that.
All right. Thank you, Craig. Before we close the show, I want to talk about a thread that I came across on, it's actually on the Theme Parks Community Forum. It's right underneath of Theme Parks Attractions and Strategies on Disboards. People are talking about recent experiences where they've been at the parks and the posted wait times were wildly off, according to this thread. Jody, Florida, says, here now, and the wait times are wildly off. 30 minutes posted, 60 to 70 minute actual wait times. and broken rides left and right. Space Mountain test track and attractions just closed hours before the park closes, which is kind of normal. Some of the they do close some of them before the parks close. People are furious and walking off of Star Tours now, not feeling the magic. And other people are weighing in that they're seeing this as well, that you're seeing one posted wait time, and they're ending up waiting a lot longer, plus the number of times that attractions break down. Now, Test Track, I know, is notorious.
Yeah, it's always
for breaking down. has been since I remember when they were first. When they first were supposed to open it, it was a year later before they actually did open it because they couldn't get it to work right. And I used to call it perpetual Test Track because it seemed like it was perpetually down or not ready for guests. They're saying Dumbo attraction closed, Muppets closed, Rock and Roller Coaster down, that they missed their Fantasmic Fastpass because of the wait time, the wait times being inaccurate.
Oh, wow,
you didn't miss anything, by the way, with the Fantasmic. Now, if it was out in Disneyland, that's a different story. Some people are saying they didn't experience that, but
there's a point in the line when you wait, and you've been waiting say 30 minutes, and they say there was a 40 minute wait. There's a point where you're like, all right, dude, I turn around. We've waited this long. Do we just go the rest of the way and just fingers crossed? I would normally wait. We've been all this way. The kids are like, we can see the attraction.
Right. And like with Soarin', it's like every single time because your wait time stops when you go through the first cast member that directs you what concourse you want to go to. But then there's actually two more lines you wait in that could last for up to 20 minutes.
The show before the ride.
Yep.
What do you guys, what's your experience been?
I feel like it can happen either way. Yeah, but it can go either way. There have been times where it says really long, and I'll get in line. I'll be like, okay, I'm accepting this like 50-minute wait time, and I get in, and it's like 30 or 20 or something like that. So like, I haven't had an experience where it's been consistently always under-posted because the rule of thumb when I was a cast member is I'd always over-post it by like –
Exactly. It's like
I don't want people coming out and yelling at me. And there's a statistic too where if people wait – like they taught us this. They were saying that every – after – so if you post a wait time at 15 minutes and at the end of that 15 minutes, every like – 5 minutes they wait after that starts to exponentially feel longer than it actually is. So they might end up only waiting 25 minutes for something that was supposed to 15 minutes, but it feels like they waited 45 minutes for it.
Well, my experience working at Test Track was that, everyone knows the red flick cards and it's like, oh, well, that calculates the wait time. I can't say if they
wait, back up. Maybe everyone doesn't know that. Explain that.
It's a red card that they may hand to you randomly that they'll scan at the greeter, and then you give it to the person basically right before you get on the ride. And supposedly that sends data to the coordinators who then are supposed to use that in order to use that to update the wait time. Okay. However, from my experience at Test Track, you handed those out, annoyed people. Yeah. And I would see the line out the door, and we'd be posted at a 20-minute wait when we are usually at like a 60-minute wait. And that was because no one was bothering to update the wait times. And
they also
people just trust them.
I usually just hand it to the person behind me and tell them like it's a game. Like keep handing this to the person behind you, and we'll see how. So long.
Now we know why some of the wait times are off.
They also most of the attractions did away with the red card. They said that they could tell from magic bands.
They hate soccer.
Yeah, but I think ultimately, too, when this is happening, I was trying to relay it in that, is that this data is going nowhere, ultimately. It's going to people who aren't. Like, at Universal, that was our job as leads, to go around and check the line every 15 minutes or so to make sure you knew what the wait time was at any given time. And then you either called the greeter and had them change the wait time on the board, or you walked out there and did that yourself. And that wasn't my experience working at Disney. I don't know if that ever changed, but that is something that annoyed me for my short time working there, is that it felt like it was this job for one person, and if they didn't do it right, then guests were the ones who were going to be impacted by it.
And the worst thing you can do walking up to attraction is if the person is standing under the wait time and you say, is that really
the wait?
I want to slap you right yes. in your face. Like I, but for me, we would do those red cards, but then I'd reach up and it was a wheel. I change it myself. Like I changed the wait time. It wasn't. So it is information that's being gathered that is essentially going nowhere. And they made it out to be like, oh, this is for the app, but it that doesn't update the app.
So more times than not, like the wait time is longer than what we actually wait in. I mean, maybe we're just lucky.
My experience, yeah, exactly. It's usually.
And you walk off happy.
Right, because I got onto the line thinking it was 30 minutes and I ended up waiting 20. That's been my experience. So when I read this, and a number of people are chiming in saying, yeah, we were just there. So I don't know if there was just a glitch during this particular – during spring break or if this is now something that's going on.
Maybe I know we also look like – at pirates, if you look and see that the queue is all the way out to the sidewalk, you're there like, oh, hey, no matter what it says, it's like something's not right here. But then there's times that it looks like, oh, nobody's on pirates. And you start to walk into the queue and you find out that the line stops.
Like right there.
I think they design it so that you can't tell as you walk past just how busy it is. By looking at the queue.
So the big – one of those big differences between like Disneyland and Disney World is like people who make decisions, like big – like chain reaction decisions in Disneyland, their offices are like there. They're located in that park. You know, they can like find the person that needs to help them. In Disney World, the people who decide some of this stuff or who are reading this information aren't even in the park that you're in. They're somewhere else. They might be in Celebration. That might be not even in the state. I don't know. And so there is this big disconnect sometimes. And I feel like it comes down into that level where it's like coordinators and cast members that aren't management people, and there's nothing you can do because sometimes the managers don't care. And so, because they don't deal with it. So it is that weird tangle of bureaucracy that happens here.
What I don't understand is in a park like Hollywood Studios, especially right now, where, you know, okay, it's gotten better now that Toy Story Land is open, but you still have a lot of attractions. You got Star Wars hasn't opened yet. Mm-hmm. You got Great Movie Ride, that replacement, Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway hasn't opened yet. And you still have a very crowded park. Why are they closing attractions like the Muppets 2 hours before the park closes? Why are they not leaving that open just for some? Mm-hmm. I realize they're not going to fill it. I understand that. But I don't understand why you would do that. Or during like peak periods in major in the parks in general, why you be closing anything early? Wow. I realize that, you know, we have they play around with the staffing to save money and stuff like that, but you know, that has always confused the heck out of me. Why they do that? I blame you, Craig.
I'm assuming they're just trying to cut hours. You know, it's been told by many cast member friends that they're doing anything they ever can to cut hours down as much as possible.
And
so
Sweetum has somebody, like a person that's probably getting paid more because they're an act. They're Sweetum is in there. And it's not just a regular – I doubt it's just a regular cast member, front-of-the-line cast member. It's probably an entertainment person.
I just have – you know, I have a problem – with the price of everything being what it is at Disney World, that them ever saying, we have to save money on this. We have to cut hours. We have to cut staff. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that when everything's at a premium. It has never been more expensive to visit Walt Disney World than it is right now. Even adjusted for inflation, although I haven't done those calculations and I could be wrong. My guess would be, even adjusted for inflation, it has never been more expensive to visit Walt Disney World than it is right now. So I just don't buy the business argument that we have to cut hours. I think it's what they do when they have to give in to a $15 an hour wage. And they say, okay, fine, we'll give you $15 an hour. We're going to cut the hours you get. We're still going to pay the same thing one way or the other. Regardless of what the experience is for the guests. And that's when I read something like this, that's kind of what jumps out at me.
I was going to say that that's always in my experience in the 8 years I worked at Disney was that that was the first thing to go whenever anything was over budget. You know, they bought when they bought Marvel or they bought Star Wars and they needed to save money in the theme parks to make the make up for it otherwise, is the first thing they do is they cut how many people work at places and make the people who work there stay a lot longer, and it saves money in the long run. And then also that's, you know, so they it's this is really messed up. It always starts with those people. So when people give cast members that you interact with a lot of crap, sometimes I'm like, okay, well, they're getting decisions made upon them that come from Bob Iger about like a movie that, you know, didn't do well, and now you're screwed in the theme park. And so it's this weird, that's what you get when you have a company that goes through all these levels of synergy. Mm-hmm. But it bugs me because that's where your relationship starts, is person to person, you know, and don't you want that to be better?
They used to. They used to. I don't know if they care about it anymore. So
that's the most important thing with Disney, right? Is that interaction between cast member and guest. Like that, that's what separates Disney from everything else.
So. Not anymore.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think they feel that way.
That used to be the way.
Right.
That used to be the way. But let's be honest, it's not that way anymore. That is no longer the business model. And it stopped being the business model when Michael Eisner left the company.
Do you think it's just Disney, though, or it's just the way the world is now?
I think other companies have upped their game, that there's not a lot of daylight between the level of customer service you get at Disney and the customer service you get at a lot of other major hospitality chains. I just don't see a lot of daylight. But that's a topic for another show. That is going to do it for this episode of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, stay out of the damn lights.